What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 438th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ. With me is Will.
Internet scam alert. This podcast is an internet scam. No. I had two things to say, but I'm going to leave it at one. Recently purchased TRX. Are you familiar with TRX?
Is that a graphics card?
No. It's a clanging and banging thing, except that you don't clang and bang. It's literally a canvas strap with handles at either end that you hang from your door frame or from the ceiling. So you can do body weight exercises when your gym is closed. Why did that cost me $200
for
a canvas strap with handles at the end? Why? The answer is they're taking advantage of my desperation and my shrinking muscles.
Doesn't your $7 million a month, a fancy apartment complex have its own gym?
Okay.
Closed.
Do I need to post more screen caps of the Facebook group for my $7 million a month fancy apartment building? I want nothing to do with these people. The faster I can get out of here, the better.
All right, Greg, also here.
I am here. I spent $60 on resistance bands, and they're quite nice.
Wait. What happened to Ring Fit Adventure?
I do Ring Fit Adventure on the non-muscle building days. Because Ring Fit Adventure is mostly calisthenics and some toning, but the resistance bands are actually muscle builder exercises. Like,
just have the resistance bands on while you do Ring Fit.
No. A, because Ring Fit asked me to do a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And B, you need to focus full body workout, then cardio workout, full body workout, then cardio workout. I mean, I am level 57.
I need to get back on Ring Fit.
Why
would you slack off, dude? Ring Fit is choice.
I think I stopped at 55.
What world are you in, bro? What world?
I got through the one where you had to do the Elite Four.
Oh, yeah, that was two worlds ago.
Oh, yeah, I'm the world after the Elite Four.
Wait, speaking of misinformation that comes from Greg.
Oh, here we go.
Now, once again, compensating for my lack of access to gym facilities, on Saturdays, I try to go about 30 miles on my bike. So yesterday, I was like, Greg, back in the days when Pokemon Go was a game that you played out of doors, used to speak about this mystical place where he would go on community days called Victory Memorial Park, because all of the memorials were Pokestops.
Yeah.
Dude, I went there yesterday. I biked the east, west, and north, south legs of that entire park. There was one memorial. You're fibbing.
What?
There's only one memorial in the entirety of Victory Memorial Park. It's at the L L.
It's like an L of grass, and where the L connects is the one memorial.
Exactly. Thank you for...
No, I mean, there are there's still the 90 Pokestops, yes?
I don't know. I was on my bike. Pokeball Plus was spinning Pokestops for me.
The giant memorial is the Civil War Memorial. What you can't see, because they're really well hidden.
Because I was whizzing by on my bike?
They're plaques in the ground. And originally somebody... So this is the history of Victory Memorial Parkway. When it was Ingress, somebody went through and did all 157 plaques as stops, which wasn't a problem for Ingress. Then Pokemon Go hit, and that was the place to go, because in a 3-mile area, there's 157 stops. But if you also notice that there's roads on both sides and neighbors. So people were just slowly driving up and down that 3-mile mark.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
So last year, finally, the neighbors all had enough. And so they complained to Niantic. And Niantic's solution was to drop it from 157 to 90. So it's still good when it's warm. You still can't, you have to get really close to the ground to see the plaques of all the dead people.
Well, I guess so.
But the only one that's big and above ground is the one that's the L, which is the Civil War one. But all along those ways, I have actively searched to try to find them, and you have to, almost be on top of them to see the little square grave marker that says, here is William. He died in a war. It's very sad.
Rip-off.
But it is still, if it's warm, 90 Pokestops in the three mile walk, and you can walk up and down it and never run out of Pokestops. It's just the neighbors get really mad, especially in winter, because people drive slow and don't pull over, and it blocks traffic. So people don't do that when it's cold anymore, really.
I may go there on the next community day on my bike. We'll see.
Ooh.
Well, speaking of community day, we have some community day news. We have some TCG news this episode. We have some anime news. Not a lot happening in Sword and Shield, although the Players' Cup 2 finals was this weekend as we're recording. I don't think the final match has been concluded. But what I can conclude is whatever wins that final match will be the new meta going forward in competitive.
Aren't there new max raids for this month?
Yeah, it's just the Lapras and the Centiscorch. Nothing too exciting. I made a graphic.
Ooh, I need to get that Gigantamax Centiscorch. I need that.
They're everywhere. Let's start with the Pokemon Go news. They did announce Community Day stuff. This is the third year they've done this, like the throwback where it's like, you missed it, so here it comes again. This is going to be a two-day event on December 12th and December 13th. It'll start at 6 a.m. To 10 p.m. local time, which I think is new. I think before it started at like 8, so they're starting a little early. 6 a.m. I'm sure somebody's getting up at 6 and they're doing the entire thing. I'm positive those people exist.
Look, I've got to catch 200 Pokemon in one day, so that's a good motivation for
sure.
I'm hoping I'm already on the I'm hating Pokemon Go train right now, so.
Oh, because you're still grinding that 40.
It is everything that I hate about Pokemon Go is magnified trying to do this grind.
How many raids are you doing a day?
None.
That's the XP though, Greg. You got to at least do your free raids.
I can barely find people online to open my gifts.
We have a Slack and a Discord. We have both. They're active at different times.
So then I have to and this is the thing. This is what actively makes me hate this game. So then I have to try to coordinate with whoever might be online and then wait for them to get done. Or like yesterday with Steve. Oh, I'm ready. Oh, no, I'm catching something. I'll be ready in 4 minutes. Oh, no, it ended early. Now I'm ready. Okay, no, wait. I still have to go. Madness. That is madness.
Usually I'm relatively good. That was a weird situation.
Sure.
Okay.
Pokemon. And then I have to deal with the stupid lag of the notifications in Go when people say, I've sent it to you. And then I'm like, you did? And then with 10 seconds to go, it pops up. I'm like, oh, it finally showed up. And then I jump in.
You got to upgrade your phone. You got to get a new phone so faster loads. Pokemon appearing more in the wild. Charmander, Weedle, Abra, Gastly, Rhyhorn, Electabuzz, Magmar, Magikarp, Porygon, Seedot, and Piplup. These Pokemon will be appearing in raids. Totodile, Swinub, Treecko, Torchic, Mudkip, Ralts, Slakoth, Trapinch, Bagon, Turtwig, and Chimchar. And then these Pokemon will be hatching from 2K eggs, Totodile, Swinub, Treecko, Torchic, Mudkip, Ralts, Slakoth, Trapinch, Bagon, Turtwig, Chimchar. The eggs is exactly the same as the raids. I should have put two and two together. And then the Pokemon will have the exclusive attacks from 2019 and 2020 if you evolve during the event. Their evolution will have the exclusive attack. Don't worry, trainers. Exclusive attacks featured in 2018 will be available in the future. So Niantic is saying, you're not getting them this weekend. You'll get them sometime in the future. I'm not going to go through all of them. You know, the Beedrill learns the Drill Run. The Charizard learns the Dragon Breath. The Blaziken learns the Blast Burn, etc.
Vigoroth learns the Booty Dance.
There will be a one-time special purchase for the Scam Box, which is 1280 Pokecoins, 30 Ultra Balls, 5 Lucky Eggs, 1 Elite... Oh! Hey, Scam Box is still a scam, but you get both Scam TMs. You get 1 Elite Fast TM and 1 Elite Charge TM and 5 Lucky Eggs. What is 5 Lucky Eggs by itself? 500 coins? No, it's less than 500 coins. Event exclusive timed research available. By completing timed research, you'll earn an elite charge TM. And for $1, you'll be able to access the exclusive community day special research story. They are also saying from 11 to 5 local time, more Pokemon will be appearing in the wild and more likely to be shiny, they're saying. So that's Weedle, Abra, Gastly, Rhyhorn, Seedot, and Piplup. During the 11 to 5, you will have a 2x Stardust bonus. You will have half the egg distance, and incense will last 3 hours. Mega Gengar will be featured more frequently. And then on Sunday from 11 to 5, increased shiny and more frequent of Charmander, Electabuzz, Magmar, Magikarp, Porygon, with, again, the Stardust bonus, the egg distance, and Mega Charizard X will be more frequent. So that's how they're ending the year.
Greg, you can do it. Just make a push on that day, and you will get over 40, and you will get your Gyarados hat.
I've seen the picture of it, which made me want it even less.
It's fine. You get the badge, though.
You get a medallion, yeah.
That nobody looks at.
That's true, but you also have played plenty of World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy and gotten things that no one ever sees.
Not true. I get mounts. People see me on the mounts. When I come swooping in on my T-Rex, when I come scoring down out of the sky, people are like, are you flying in the back of a T-Rex? And I will say, yes.
Did you get that whale mount?
Yes, I am.
Here, I'll just make it real for you.
No, I don't want to pay $25 for that. Jeez.
Every time in the future, if the future happens, that we are all at brunch together, Steve, we will start brunch by launching Pokemon Go and showing each other our level 40 medallions that we are legacy
like
level
this.
40s. So that it will have meaning and purpose.
Where do we
brunch? I'm showing up to late at. So do we want an update of where I'm at? Because last week, did anybody remember what my XP was?
No.
I was at 200,000 XP into level 39. I'm at, right now, as of this recording, 1,583,088 out of 5 million needed.
1.5 out of 5 million.
Yep.
That's not bad. You'll get there.
Yeah, you can do it.
How about this? I'll come up for Community Day. We'll go to Mall of America.
I am not going into the Death Mall.
Yeah, I wouldn't go into Mall of America either.
Trust me, I was there on Monday, this past Monday. I was one of 6 total shoppers in the entirety of the mall. That place is probably the safest place on earth to be right now.
Interesting.
You can keep 30 feet of space like between you and every other person there.
I was at Mayfair Mall yesterday and it was pretty bustling. But maybe it feels busy because at least at Mayfair, most stores only allow a certain amount of people in, so it results in lines of people outside the store.
No Minnesotan goes to Mall of America unless they're close to it, because there's 8 million malls here that actually have things we need. So
I guess
when travel
that makes sense.
Is down, Mall of America has nothing. There's nothing in Mall of America that I think, oh, only Mall of America has that. And the things that it only has are literally things I don't need in my life.
Right. Like, why would a local person go to Mall of America where they charge $2 minimum extra on everything? Because it's a tourist thing. So if you're not
getting tourists,
then yeah, it would be empty. Hmm.
But because it's empty, it makes doing raids and stuff that you could count on in Mall of America that much harder.
Yeah, but if there was like, if like you and Will decided to go to Mall of America because it's heated, because maybe on those days it'll be empty.
It's not heated. It's not.
Then
they don't have a heating system.
The two of you would be able to invite probably 1 to 2 people and you could do any raid you want.
Valid.
Who am I going to invite?
Yeah. You're welcome to Slack. You can invite me. I'm doing raids.
Oh, you
Are
mean
you
remote raids. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
not a world I live in.
Oh, my gosh. You get the free raid passes. You both log in. You both can invite up to 5 people.
I do, and they don't show up. Granted, I don't warn them. And it's only an Esper.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, Pokemon first discovered in the Kalos region are here. Chespin, Fennekin, Froakie, Bunnelby, Fletchling, Litleo, and Noibat are in the wild. I guess they decided to make Noibat the rare one? I'm not surprised.
I've seen no Noibat.
I'm never surprised. Like, I was surprised when they made Mareep so rare. I was like, huh, Mareep. Interesting. And they take certain Pokemon and they make them rare for whatever reason. It's fine. But out of all the Pokemon, I expected Litleo to be more rare, but Litleo's like the Bidoof of the game.
Yeah, but Litleo is, I mean, thinking, it's the squirrel, isn't it?
No, it's a lion.
It's a lion.
But it's like the...
It's that, the normal type.
The Route yeah. 1 cheesy garbage.
Is he Route no, 1? He's like Route 5.
He's route to the side of the first town. Because Route 1's Bunnelby, and I've already seen enough Bunnelby.
Yeah. Mm.
Noibat is the rare one. Noibat's not... Yeah, no. I mean, there's no game where Noibat's rare. I mean, like, Noibat is in the first cave of the first trial of Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, and obviously didn't debut in that game, but you get them relatively not late in X and Y.
It took me a very long time to find a Froakie, and I'm not happy about that.
Fennekin is, like, non-stop spawning in my house.
Yeah, I got tons of Fennekins down here.
I see a lot of
Fennekin,
but, like, we are literally a million lakes. I should have Froakie abundance, and I have none. I
Greg,
have one.
Geography, you live on the side of town where there's not lakes, because you live up there. I'm down here with lake after lake after lake.
we do live at the top of the river valley. That is true. But there's a giant river very close to my house.
Froakies don't like rivers. They move too fast. It
wouldn't surprise me if... Froakie was the rarest of the three because Greninja is so popular.
I mean, Fennekin's cuter.
Not when it evolves.
Oh, lies.
You like Delphox? I think it's okay.
I love Delphox.
It's okay.
I like it better than Greninja with a tongue.
Oh, I like Greninja a lot.
Anything is better than Chestnut.
Remember when we went to the World Tournament last year?
No.
And they had Delphox plushes and Greninja plushes, but they didn't even bother to bring Chestnut plushes.
It's because somebody bought them all out.
Yes,
Chestnut
exactly.
Lover 101 was like, yum, 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 yum.
Okay, I don't think this show has enough hot takes. I brought one this week.
I'm not ready, but do it anyways.
We need like a hot take spice alert.
Spice alert. Spice alert.
The sizzle reel.
Steve's about to say something
these
kind of dumb
people
exactly.
No, I think you guys will agree, these Pokemon Go fans that complained left and right on social media, on the Reddits, on
these
the Twitters
people.
These people complained about Mega Evolution being a scam, being a ripoff, being not worth their dollars, and
yeah,
these are the
still true.
These are the same people who bragged about doing 30 Esper raids so they could get to level 41. They refused and whined all the way to the farm. Is that an expression? That
no.
Mega Evolution was a ripoff, but they
still is.
They just dropped $30 to do as many Espers as they could so they could get to level 41. It is...
How is that a hot take? And how is that just not you complaining? I mean,
I'm complaining about the people complaining because it's hypocritical.
Why is it hypocritical?
To be like, I don't want to spend a dollar on Mega Evolution, but they'll spend a dollar on Esper just to get to level 41 as fast as possible.
It wasn't about the money. It was about the fact that Mega Evolution was too short.
You get to keep every Esper that you catch.
You get to keep
and
the Mega Evolution.
Level 41 is forever.
And you have to keep re-Mega Evolving.
Gosh.
So it means you have to do those mega raids. They are different things.
I can't tell if you're siding with them just to play devil's advocate.
I am siding with them. Dude, look, I've got to be the first to level 50. Otherwise, I don't know. It's like, why do you have to be the first to level 50? Because I have no other meaning in my life. There you go.
Fair.
I don't think they're the same, but go, you do your hot take. Spicy space.
I think the rewards you get from Mega Evolution are worth the rare candy, the TMs, all that stuff is worth the dollar compared to the nothing you get from Esper because it's a one-star raid. I mean, if people want to spend $30 to get to level... I mean, their people did spend $30 to get to 41 in a day.
I will spend, at most at this point, $5 to maybe get to 40.
Well, I have, like, I still have no problem spending a dollar to do a mega raid. If you got the mega Obama snow, I'm interested. Because I think they're fun. And I want that candy. And I want to mega evolve so when I do a raid, it saves me more time. Last bit of Go news here. This was a... I would probably say this is a pretty big deal. It's off Pokemon.com. Pokemon The Movie, Secrets of the Jungle, and Pokemon Go Collide. Pokemon Go trainers can participate in themed research and encounter feature Pokemon and more. Pokemon The Movie, Secrets of the Jungle will release in 2021, but you won't have to wait. You won't have to wait to meet some characters featured in the movie because a themed Pokemon Go event is kicking off on December 14th. Special research guided by none other than Jesse and James themselves. Completing the research will earn you an encounter with a shiny Celebi, one of the Pokemon prominently featured in Pokemon The Movie Secrets of the Jungle. You may also run into Jesse and James in either Go Snapshot or in the Meowth, or in their iconic Meowth balloon, and avatar items inspired by the troublesome duo will be available in the game shop.
Wait, so they were out of Pokemon Go for a total of 1 month?
Yep.
No, they... 2 months.
You can't keep a good pair down.
They made such a thing about Jesse and James are leaving. Make sure that you, if you see their balloon, that you get up in there and everything. And it, for 2 months?
Hey, 2 months is a long time in Pokemon Go. People have already stopped complaining about Mega Evolution.
You are correct. I just...
Do we know what the... What their... Are there outfits? Should we look at the Team Rocket outfits that are already existing in the shop, but just in white? Or are they actually going to be...
I don't think we know what their outfits look like. This special research will start on December 14th. It's a limited time research. Completes it to get the shiny Celebi at the end. I don't see why you wouldn't be able to send the shiny Celebi to home, since you can send regular Celebi to home. They will appear in the Meowth. There will be an Explorer Pikachu that makes its debut from Monday, December 14th through December 21st. Explorer Pikachu will appear in the wild and raids. If you're lucky, you may encounter a shiny Explorer Pikachu.
Is it just going to wear a hat?
I don't.
Is it just wearing a pith hat? Cause...
Probably. During the Pokemon Spotlight Hour on Tuesday from 6 to 7, Explorer Pikachu will be more in the wild. Double candy. Pokemon connected to the movie Secrets of the Jungle from Monday to the 14th through Thursday, December 17th. Hoot Hoot, Nuzleaf, Drillbur, Cottonee, Dwebble. Spoilers. All these Pokemon are clearly in this movie. And what more will be appearing in the wild. If you're lucky, you may get a shiny Durant, Lickitung, Mawile, Flygon, Rufflet will be appearing in raid battles. This is the first time, not GBL, not reward related, that you'll get Rufflet, I think. Unless they put him in eggs, and I forgot. Igglybuff, Smoochum, Elekid, Magby, Bonsly, and Rufflet will be hatching from 5k eggs. If you're lucky trainers, you may find a shiny Rufflet. And Jesse and James's Meowth balloon will go until will be appearing more frequently on Christmas, which is when the movie debuts in Japan, from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. local time. Balloon, I was going to say, you'll be able to ignore your family by doing the Jesse and James balloon, but that's assuming that you are seeing your family for Christmas, which probably most people shouldn't.
I am not.
And should stay at home. It's a cool event. I'm glad they're doing stuff like that. It'd be nice if Pokemon Masters also does something of the sort. Well, they kind of did earlier the year, before the movie got delayed. They had something planned.
Yeah, they did.
But it'd be nice to see a little bonus thing, especially around the holidays. They showed off Erica and Skyla. I don't think they revealed their Pokemon yet for holiday sync pairs.
No, not that I remember seeing.
Okay. So I guess we'll talk about that when they do get debuted.
Have you done the buffet battle thing?
I have not, no. I think we'll have more Masters news to talk about next week.
I mean, there's nothing. It's boring. The buffet battle is not that interesting.
Yeah, The first time ever since Masters debuted, it dropped out of the top 100 top grossing games in the Japanese App Store, which is,
Not good.
Something. Interesting nonetheless.
Those of us who are sitting on 2,000 skip tickets and no stamina are wondering, what are you going to do?
I think we'll have a bunch of Masters news to talk about next week, so we'll save it. We'll save it for then. Let's take a break, and then we teased this last week, but there's some TCG drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Greg has
TCG drama.
I know Greg has thoughts on this.
I do.
So we will be right back.
Those of us born in the 70s say, you know, that shiny and a coupon will get you a discount on a Shamrock Shake.
We are back from our break. All right, TCG stuff. We'll start with the easy stuff here. Pokemon TCG Galar Sidekick Premium Collection. Apparently it launched on November 20th. Did we talk about this one? I think we did.
No, I don't think so. The last thing I remembered is like Champion's Path and Vivid Voltage.
Yeah, what's Sidekick? What?
It's a Galar Sidekick Premium Collection. Includes Rillaboom.
Wait, is that the one where I get the Marnie playmat?
No, that's the Marnie. No. Champion's Path thing. Rillaboom V, Cinderace V, Inteleon V, Unleash Your True Champion Strength. It will feature oversized coin with Grookey, Sobble, Score Bunny. You will get 11 TCG booster packs for your deck.
What's a Sidekick Dangler?
That is
for your cell phone.
It's a keychain.
Oh, okay.
They did the same thing with the Small But Mighty, where you had like a Jigglypuff or an Igglybuff Cleffa and Smoochum, I think. Igglybuff?
Cleffa. But are they keychains or are they like cell phone charms?
No, they're bigger. They're keychains. They're probably half the size of a cell phone.
Bang.
That is available. The other thing is, okay, so there's a lot of hype around a set called Shining Star V, which is available in Japan. And I think they make Korean, Taiwanese sets too. Anyways, there's not an English set. Shining Star V is the newest set in Japan. It is one of Japan's biggest sets ever. It has 300 cards in that set.
Wow. How many of them are Charizards?
Probably at least 100 of the 300. And by the name Shiny Star V, it features a lot of shiny Pokemon in the set. And all of those packs have the Phantom Challenge code cards in them. I did a YouTube video of how to do the Phantom Challenge and how to sign up for it and how to register for it. Shout out to Andrew for helping me translate some of that stuff. But ultimately, the Phantom Challenge it's not new to Japan. They do this all the time. We just don't hear about a lot of it because it's usually for like a Chansey or something. But in this case, the Phantom Challenge is for Marshadow, Genesect, and Volcanion. And there's only been one Volcanion and one Marshadow distribution in the United States so far. So obviously those two Pokemon are pretty sought after. They do these distributions all the time in Japan, so maybe not as sought after. But what the Pokemon company likes to do is they like to partner with companies like Mr. Donut or like 7-Eleven or, oh gosh, what's that big department store? Anyways, and when you buy stuff there, you get points, you redeem the points, then you cash in those points for mythical Pokemon or other things, Chanseys, stuff like that. The importance is that Shiny Star V has the code cards inside, so if you import Shiny Star V, you can redeem the code cards right away, because you need 30 points to get everything in the Phantom Challenge, and each code card, each pack of Shiny Star V has 4 points, and there's 10 points in a pack. Basic math, 40 points gets you everything. Now, in Japan, you can buy any other booster pack, like their Vivid Voltage, their Darkness Ablaze, their base set Sword and Shield. Obviously, their names are a little different. But you have to buy them at a Pokemon Center, and then they give you the points, because those sets have already been created, so they haven't had to, they didn't have time to put the code cards in. But plushes, cards, figures, they all qualify 4 points for the Phantom Challenge. But if you were to import, you know, older cards, you're not going to get the points because you have to buy them specifically at a Pokemon Center. Shiny Star V is the exception to that. But now, fast forward to like 3 days ago, the Pokemon Company announced that Shining Fates is a expansion that will be coming out on February 19th, which is a couple days before their 25th anniversary. It will feature 190 cards. 100 of those will be shiny. They will not be sold separately. They will be sold in special collections, just like Champion's Path, just like Hidden Fates, just like Shining Legends. Really creative name here. So I wouldn't be surprised. Normally we get one special set a year. This past year was Champion's Path. The year before that was Hidden Fates. I wouldn't be surprised if we get two or three special sets going into the 25th anniversary, since we're already getting one in February. But what this is actually going to do, though, is cause the price of Shiny V-Star to drop. Because normally Japanese cards are only worth a lot of money when there's not an English counterpart. And there were people that didn't believe that Shiny V-Star was going to come to the United States. But it is, as of now. So if you want to import Shiny V for the codes and because you want to collect cards, you're looking at about $100 to do that on eBay or on import sites. Shiny Star V in Japan is about 6,000 yen, I believe, which is about $50, which makes sense because, okay, gosh, this is a lot more explaining than I'm used to. A booster box in Japan is 30 packs, and in those packs are 5 cards each, because Japanese booster packs are 5 cards in a pack, where English packs are 10 cards. So normally their booster box is around like 4,000 yen. But these Shiny Star V are 6,000 yen, but you're guaranteed a holo or better in every pack. And their packs have 10 cards. So that's why this special set in Japan is a little bit more money. So if you do decide to import it, you will be paying almost double what it costs in Japan. But you do get the cards for the Phantom Challenge. You can just go to eBay and buy the cards for significantly less, which I think is what Greg did. So it's totally up to you. But if you are buying, my only advice is if you're buying Shiny Star V for resale value of reselling the cards, the American Pokemon Company just threw a wrench in that, because English cards always, almost always, there are exceptions, but almost always will resell better and for more money than Japanese cards. I think we're done with that conversation now.
Well, I don't have any questions, but now I finally understand what that like 30 back and forth message, text message conversation that when I was trying to ride my bike and I kept getting interrupted was all about. Thank you.
Yeah, and I thought I was buying codes for the Japanese website. I didn't.
Yeah, well, you didn't mess it up per se.
I didn't mess it up per se. I just cut out having to use the website.
Right. So I did a YouTube video. How to do the Phantom Challenge, which is one of the best YouTube videos I think I put. It is like literally the second best YouTube video I put out this year. So thank you to, I guess people really liked it. By the way, we're trying to get to 10,000 YouTube subs before the end of the year. And I think we're at like 8,000 now, which is awesome. Maybe we can get there if you haven't subbed or gone over to the YouTube. Now's the reason to. But pretty much what happens in the Phantom Challenge is you got to scan these code cards into this website run by the Pokemon Company, and then once you get enough points, you hit, like, redeem prize, and then it gives you a code that you can redeem on your Nintendo Switch. What Greg ended up buying, from my understanding, is the finalized code, so yes. Somebody redeemed the points for you. You just ended up buying the code.
Yes, which was very confusing, because I searched for the exact same thing you said in the video. I watched the video to the end. And then I ordered it from the person that you had mentioned in the video. It looked the same. And then I got them, and I'm trying to put them into the website. And I'm like, they're not being accepted. And then I read the email closely and how it was broken down. I'm like, oh, these are codes that actually have to enter into my Switch. These are the final product. That makes this a whole lot easier.
I wonder, and it's more work for the seller to do that because they have to go to the website. They have to make an account because you can only do it once per account. So if they're selling multiples of these, they have to make multiple accounts with multiple emails because you have to verify the email, which is what I show in the video. And then they have to punch in the numbers for the codes to then get the Switch codes. It's very confusing. That's why I made a video about it. So it's more work for them, but I wonder if they can charge more because some people just don't want to do that middle step I just explained.
I mean, yeah, but was it expensive?
No, I mean, I paid less than what you showed in the video.
Yeah, yeah. Like what I did in the video is I didn't want to like single out a seller. But I also wanted to recommend a seller that I know that was safe. But I didn't want to be like, I didn't want anyone to think like, oh, Steve has like a deal with this dude. That's why he's recommending. It's like, no, I just did a quick search. I definitely recognize that name that I've bought and stuff from that dude before. So I can at least vouch that this dude provides, like, it's not a scam, but also like there is no partnership. It's just I've ordered from this dude before. But I knew for sure that you could find cheaper if you looked a little harder. So that was kind of what I was leading.
So basically what happened was the dude recognized Greg's name and was like, oh, celebrity, I've got to get special treatment. Yeah.
I mean, I'm into that.
I also think, though, because next year is the 25th anniversary, there will be plenty of mythicals given out. I'm sure of it.
Okay.
Yes.
So here's a question, Steve. All of them come as being from Japan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they have Japanese names and then the English names under that. I'm like, this is weirding me out a bit.
Yeah, so if they know, this is why I know this event specifically is never going to come to America. And the reason for that is because it might come to America in a way where they're like, oh, they're doing a Volcanion distribution, but they're not going to do a Volcanion Marshadow Genesect distribution in, like, go to your local 7-Eleven, get a G Fuel, and then get the code printed on the receipt, and then go to a website and redeem it. Like, that's never coming to America. That is something they've done in Japan for multiple distributions and stuff. But usually, if the Pokemon name is locked to a language, in this case, when you redeem Volcanion, it will be Volcanion's Japanese name. That means that like they had no plans for this to ever leave. Whereas, like if you redeem Zarud from a Japanese movie ticket, if you redeem it in English, it will have in your English game, it will have Zarud's English name, and if you redeem it in a German game, it will have Zarud's German name. And then if you redeem it on your Japanese Switch, it will have Zarud's Japanese name. So when you do redeem these, they will have the Japanese Pokemon names, but that's only because they were locked to it. Not locked. The names are locked, but the event is not locked to Japan since Switches are region locked. Not region locked, sorry. But they're still, they're Cherish Ball Pokemon with the ribbons and everything, but they're just locked to a specific ID, name, etc. It's a cool event in Japan. I just wanted to bring light to it. And I know some people are really desperate for Volcanion or or Marshadow or whatnot. So anyways, that YouTube video will be, I'll put it in the show notes. But otherwise, the YouTube is just PK Mencast. Shining Fates is coming. There is still the TCG problem right now where I walked into a mire and they didn't have a single booster pack. They didn't even have theme decks. The Target I went to the other day has not restocked in over a month, and the only thing they have is like Rebel Clash Elite Trainer boxes, which aren't the worst, and good old Crimson Invasion Elite Trainer boxes, which no one in the entire world should ever buy. We were talking about wasting money prior to the show. If you want to really waste your money,
well, Crimson Invasion. I would like to provide also clarification for our listeners that are not in a very, very targeted specific section of the Midwest. Steve did not walk into a swamp.
Exactly.
He walked into an M-E-I-J-E-R, which I originally thought was pronounced Mayhair. It is a store similar to Target. It's kind of between Target and Walmart in quality. That's the best way I can describe it.
I would agree with you 100%. I would say it leans more towards the Walmart, Kermit. Though.
It's the new Kmart.
Yeah.
Like, it's Kmart quality.
Yes. Between Target and Walmart, but closer to Walmart.
Yes.
It's like a step up from Walmart for sure. Yeah, but because of the current TCG fad, which I feel like I should make a YouTube video about, explaining that more in depth, the cards are still really, really hard to find. And I think this is the
more
part...
pyramid scheme stuff?
Yeah, the more pyramid scheme stuff. I think this is the other part to keep in mind that I didn't really think about till the other day, until somebody pointed this out. The fad currently of, like, I want to buy an old booster box and I want to pull, like, a Dark Charizard First Edition, which I think Dark Charizard First Edition is, like, a $25,000 card. That is only if that Charizard is graded at a PSA 10. If it's not, if it's PSA 9, it's no longer $25,000. And that is assuming that you're getting it PSA graded that day. But because of the pandemic and because of current card fads in both Pokemon, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, etc., PSA is extremely backed up. And if you send a Dark Charizard there, you're not going to see it for 4 to 5 months, I believe, as of this recording. I'd have to double check. And how fads work is that card was not that expensive months ago, and it is expensive now. Who's to say it's going to be just as expensive in 5 months when you get it back, assuming that it's even PSA 10? So I don't know. I don't know if when we get to February for Shining Fates, which seems like a very fun set, Hidden Fates was probably one of the most fun sets to open, if we'll even be able to find Shining Fates. Like, it still feels impossible to find Champion's Path.
I don't know. Any Pokemon set that has the word Shining in it, I find very sus. I'm out.
Okay. More TCG news in a different light. We're going to talk about PTCGO real quick. There was the Players Cup 2 this weekend. During the Twitch stream, they did give out a free Zacian V for those who watched. It was 50,000 limited. As of recording this podcast this morning, there were still... people were still redeeming them. I made a graphic. It's on the Twitter. It's on the Instagram of how to redeem that. If you want a full art Zacian V in PTCGO. But this news is specific to PTCGO. And these tweets came out on November 23rd. I screenshotted them because I was worried they were going to get deleted. I don't think they've been deleted yet. But we complain a lot about PTCGO. Of how I think all three of us would probably play it a lot more if it worked. And if it was not... looking like an app from 2006. But we know that the developer for PTCGO is a company called Dire Wolf Digital. And they make a bunch of other board games for PC and Mac. And they recently tweeted... They were getting, I guess, hate tweets. They were getting yelled at.
They were getting a lot of hate tweets.
And I can't remember what the specific issue in PTCGO was, but people were complaining about something. Let me see if I can find the thread here. I guess we'll just read it to give context.
There you go.
Yeah.
Twitter user says, can't go into Denver because of the pandemic, so here's day one of me DMing Dire Wolf Digital until they do the things that owner of world's most valuable IPs pay them to do. So they took a screenshot of the DM they sent. I am going to family friendly advise this message. Have you guys considered zookeeping? Just curious. Y'all seem to excel in the industry of big piles of poop.
Yep.
I like that. That's witty.
Just a side note here before we go down this path. There are real humans that receive this on the other end of things. As much as I think that PTCGO is not a great app, I don't. There are real people working on the app. They have feelings.
Yeah, I mean, that goes for everything on the internet. That is, like, literally my experience with dating apps. It's like, hey, did you realize I'm a real person here?
Yeah.
There are, like, way nicer and more constructive ways to tell people to be, like, better. Okay, so, I mean, there's not a lot of traction here. Like, this in itself is not newsworthy. It had 2 retweets and 6 likes. I don't think this...
people were not...
I don't think this guy is, like, moving mountains over here.
People are not in their corner.
So somebody else tweets back at them. They say, I have a problem with being harsh on Dire Wolf because I assume that the Pokemon Company could make the changes if they wanted. Every game has bugs. I accept that. I am positive that there are some employees at the Pokemon Company that wants PTCGO to be as good as Magic the Gathering Arena or LOR.
Legends of Runeterra.
Legends of Runeterra, and I assume whoever makes the decisions don't care. Okay, side note, I'm going to stop here. I do know people who work at the Pokemon Company International, and I do know that one of the biggest TCG people that works there is well aware that PTCGO is not great, and they... from what they've told me, have said they are working to change that in the future. Okay, back to the conversation. Direwolf Digital then goes in and says, thanks,
yeah,
Luke.
They do.
Kieran, the original tweet with the zoo joke. Kieran being rude to our team and sending offensive DMs to our social media folks isn't helpful or fair. We have a team who... across the board is passionate about making products with a very high quality bar. Check out any of our other games. That's not to say that there aren't bugs or issues that come up, especially in a game as large card/content-wise as PTCGO, but there always are. But our studio's work is often recognized as being one of the higher standards in the genre we work for. Generally speaking, why we were silent on getting dunked on here, we cannot comment on the decisions that go into the state of some of our products. As a dev who works for other large publishers, we don't always get to prioritize the things we want, no matter how much we lobby. And that's pretty much it. Those are the 3 tweets they did, which I feel like says a lot.
It says exactly the same thing that we've been saying about everything for like at least 2 years now. No sub company, no American company, no Niantic, no Direwolf can do anything on their own.
Right. No.
They have to have approval first.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I've been saying for, you know, 2+ years in the show is people get mad that Niantic made a Molga a 1 week spawn, but it's like, no, the Pokemon Company did that. Like, the reason that Noibat is rare isn't because of Niantic. It's because the Pokemon Company says, we need a rare Pokemon, and let's do Noibat. We want more Hat Pikachus. Niantic, here's the model for the next hat we thought of. Put it into the game. Like, I don't think Niantic is sitting around in, like, a boardroom with a bunch of hats on the wall throwing darts, being like, this is our next Pikachu. Like, this is all coming from the Pokemon Company. If you still think that, like, oh, Niantic's making these decisions, if you think that a free-to-play game like PTCGO with no way to give PTCGO money is being so strictly controlled by the Pokemon Company, but the thing that makes them the most money, undoubtedly millions of dollars a month, quarter after quarter of being better than the last quarter, if you still think for some reason that, like, ah, that's just Niantic making, you're out of your mind, that the Pokemon Company would be like, we need to strangle this board game app, but hey, you guys over here do what, like, no way. But the question is, like, why do they not care? Not care. Why are there just not more resources to PTCGO? Why do they not want to compete at the level of Magic the Gathering? Do they, even outside of the computer game world, they are sitting on the same shelf as Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh? Well, depending
so,
on...
So, Greg, state. let me just jump in.
Go for it.
Quick. So, my main thing that I think people easily forget, and Steve, you just don't have as much exposure to, is PTCGO has been around for, what, a decade? Is it just about 10 years now?
Yeah, it launched when we kind of first met, Will.
Yeah, all right, so 8 years, 9 years. MTG Arena, the actual good MTG to play online, has been around for about 2 years.
Yep. And was very broken for the first year.
Oh, heck yeah, it was. And if you actually look at what Wizards provided as a play interface previous to MTG yep. Arena, it was horrible. I mean, yeah. It's still out there. You can still see it. It's terrible.
You still find Magic the Gathering online.
And they charge
and
you money
awful.
For that.
It is awful.
It's not a fair comparison, number one. And number two, what that makes very clear is if they wanted to make a significant improvement / revision to TCGO, they'd have to scrap what they currently have and start fresh.
Yep.
And that is just a huge mountain to get over. That would be a huge amount of investment for, as you said, something that does not collect money. And I guarantee you, if there was some way, if they opened up something like a subscription, a PTCGO subscription, or directly buy packs through PTCGO, which would probably get them off of iPads, people would, what is the expression? Their minds would explode. The brains would fly out of their. How dare.
No, I agree that like the only way at this point to save PTCGO is to start over.
Yeah.
And there were rumors that whoever makes Magic the Gathering Arena, I don't know who the developer on that is. There was rumors that they were making a new version of PTCGO. I mean, it is also possible that could be possible that Direwolf Digital is working on a new version of PTCGO because the framework is so bad that they have to start over. But if the Pokemon company just came out and said that and said, look, this app is 9 years old. The game has changed so much since then. I mean, 9 years ago, I think at one point in the game, you could give it money and then they removed it. I think that was like the first 6 months. If they want, but now because of the success of Pokemon Masters and because of the success of Pokemon Go, they clearly are okay with taking money. Especially if that money is like $5 a week, which I don't know what the average, I don't know what the average Pokemon Go player gives Niantic or whatnot. But like that would, I think that in itself would be a huge 25th anniversary announcement to be like, hey,
yeah,
we are rolling out. It won't be ready this year, but we are working on a brand new worldwide version of PTCGO because remember, Japan doesn't have this at all. And if Japan is okay giving money to gacha games, they're very good at giving money to Pokemon Go. I'm sure they would love a mm-hmm. version of PTCGO for themselves. So to like relaunch PTCGO, whether that's next year or the year before, have a way to import your card database, which I can't imagine they if they can figure out how to get a Pokemon from Gen 3 to Gen 8, I think they can figure out how to take your cards from PTCGO.
Yeah, I will tell you that Magic the Gathering Arena does not care what cards you own in real life. They are separate things. You can get some specialty packs that will say, hey, put in these codes and you'll get this constructed deck.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sometimes put in codes to get packs. But they don't care what you've bought outside.
Oh, PTCGO doesn't care either.
Yeah, yeah. The code you get in a pack is different than the code you get in game.
So there's a couple of things that we need to keep in mind. One, digital online games came under hyper-focus because of the state of the world. It is very clear that Pokemon Company was very much in, this is an in-person game, right?
Yeah.
Like, your tournaments are in-person with physical cards. We don't use electronics. Then 2020 happened, and there's now a huge focus on maybe these large events can never happen again. It takes time to develop an entire strategy to have those two concurrent programs running to give them equal weight. It took Magic 2 years to do it. They're running tournaments online and in person, but they are focused on that one specific product and getting it. And it still took 2 years to get Magic the Gathering Arena worthwhile, and there are still bugs and still problems with card interactions. Because Magic has a 25-year history, they have to get all the cards in there. And they have to figure out how things from 25 years ago work now. It's the same with PCT.
But actually, in MTG Arena, they don't have all the cards. PTCGO has a larger card database than MTG Arena. Absolutely.
And I mean, they've added some in because they're adding in historic. So some are coming in, but they do have a cutoff. So people, there is a lot, like, what made me angry about this tweet is when there's like this level of belief that a company just doesn't want to put out good product. The one thing that gets me through most workdays and dealing with anybody is the knowledge that almost everybody, 95% of people come in to do a good job and try their best. They don't want to have public embarrassment. Also, you have to look at, this wasn't a focus. This hasn't been a focus until 2020 made it be a focus. And if you're expecting them to suddenly say, since March, oh, we're going to pump $50 billion into this product and get something up and working with every card from 10 years that also doesn't charge people money, that fixes every issue and every card set works together, you have no idea how the world works.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I mean, it's also like, even if the Pokemon company wanted to be like, okay, we're done with Direwolf, we need to go somewhere else, like, what big developer out there is going to be like, oh yeah, sure, we're doing nothing right now, let's go make this game. Like, literally every big developer is probably a year or 2 years or 5 years into making a current game. Mm-hmm. And even if they said yes, you get in line because they're still working on something, right? Like, there's not a developer that's just sitting around being like, man, I wish somebody would drop a game in our lap.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not how the world works. And you could be like, okay, well, then they should just do it themselves. Okay, well, hiring a manager, hiring, like, 40 developers, hiring people to get those developers isn't something you just do in a month.
Well, you don't just, like, oh, we're just going to cross-chain these five people who are already working on a product. Every large corporation runs as close to the minimum amount of people you need on a project to save money as they can. I'll say this, in my own life, I have 8 call centers. Call centers of 500 to 1,000 people that I alone support and make training for. And my team that does it worldwide is 11 people. And if all of us go out on vacation at the same time, everything comes to a screeching halt because there is no extra. They don't pay. No company pays to have people who will only have a half day full of work who are sitting around in case something is needed. They figure out the exact number that they need plus people taking vacation, and sick time is not included in that, and say, this project will take 25 people to complete, so we're going to give you 27. And that's it. That's the budget. And that was set January 1. We will relook it and reevaluate January 1 of next year and see how you did. But you get no more. There's no more. And hope none of those people quit or leave, because then you have to backfill and then ramp that person up. It is such a delicate balance that they get for teams to work on these things. And the numbers are so tight. This notion that people are just sitting around with nothing to do in the company is not how the world works. The reason why people have extra staff in retail store is the idea that you are hanging around in case somebody comes in. And if it's a slow season, y'all know your shifts get cut. It's the same, except we're salary. So they keep us or fire us.
I think there is value in making sure, or hoping, I think that I like, whether we get a Gen 4 remake, whether we get Gen 9, like, those things are, like, going to come eventually. Having a brand new version of PTCGO and have it designed to be able to do these tournaments, which PTCGO is failing at right now, which the Pokemon Company tried to make happen this year, and they're continuing to try to make happen because it's all they have. I think that would be just so healthy and so positive and so good for people who love the Pokemon trading card game. And I think it would be good to get more people into the Pokemon trading card game. If there was an updated, fresh app, it would benefit current players. It would benefit new players. It would bring them money once they establish something that is good. And it would cause for healthy competition. And I think maybe their worry was, well, if we do tournaments through PTCGO, we won't do tournaments. That would push away from people coming to IRL tournaments. And I don't think that's the case. I think that if I cannot travel to X event, but I can do X event here and I perform well, it will incentivize me to want to travel in the future. I just don't think it takes away. And I'm sure Hearthstone, I'm sure they have also proven that like these digital events aren't taking away from their live events.
Well, there are no live events, so who knows what's going on in the world anymore.
But maybe that's why PTCGO has been so poorly upkept for the last like year and a half, is because they're putting resources into something else. I want to dream. I want to think that.
you want the hope to be alive. It probably, like, I think if anything, this year has proven to every company that you don't know what's going to happen, and it's really good to have a great online backup.
Last bit of news here is the new series of Pokemon Journeys is on Netflix. We finally got the way to say the dragon type gym leaders. I was wrong. Greg was wrong. But together we were right. Take the first part of how Greg thought it was and the last part of how I thought it was.
I mean, the only way that I was wrong is they overly pronounced the H in the middle.
You were very, exactly. You were like, oh, it's Ryan. And I was like, I don't think so. Ryhan.
Ryan. Yeah.
The last part is supposed to sound like hand. Ryhan. No D.
Why do you keep adding a D then?
I know. It's like,
because I got to think of hand when I say it. Look,
that's
the MPS education's creeping up on me. I only jumped to the episode just to hear his name. I did not watch the episode.
I've not watched it yet either. I have vacation coming up, and I know what I'm doing on vacation.
I probably won't. Yeah, I probably will watch it maybe Christmas Eve or Christmas with Irene. Just been real busy. Question of the week.
I don't want a lot from Slack. There is just one thing I need. Post it in the Attic channel. It's the question of the week.
Look, I am trying to get Mariah out of Christmas.
Nope. It is time, and it will happen.
To Andy and Stuart, who sent in some news stuff, we will get to that stuff next week. Just wanted to focus on the TCG stuff this week. This is from Andrew. Which Pokemon would look better in Machoke/Machamp line pants?
Line pants?
Machoke wearing pants? I don't think it is.
No.
It's got a belt. Or Machamp's got the belt.
Are they saying that they want pants on Machoke? I think the only Pokemon wearing pants is Scraggy.
I mean, so...
Oh, Gigantamax Machamp has pants. It does.
Where does he get pants from?
When he Gigantamaxes. It's like how the Hulk rips his shirt off. Machamp,
Puts his shirt on. According to official Japanese website, Machoke and Machamp don't wear pants.
But and then what is pants. What is a line pant? What? Could you read the question again, please?
Which Pokemon would look better in Machoke, Machamp, line pants?
So, okay, let's break those. Which Pokemon look better in the Machoke, Machamp line?
Line. Okay, let's put the emphasis and spacing in the right
pants.
Part. Well, look, there was no comma.
But they've got no pants.
So, which Pokemon would look better in a pair of Speedos?
Oh, is that what it's asking?
That's what I'm saying it is.
So you like take the Speedo slash
you take
weightlifting
the Speedo
belt
slash weightlifting belt off the Machamp line.
And then put it on like a Pikachu.
Not on a Pikachu, because that would be terrible.
You could put on a Himmonlee.
You could. You could put on a Gallade. But Gallade's got that weird
cape thing.
Cape. Well, it's got also the weird belty middle, like the big round disc in the middle that I don't really ever understand.
I want to find a way to reject this question completely. And since I have recently discovered that I'm the Queen of France, I'm just going to say Klefki. Klefki should be wearing a Speedo. There you go.
Okay. Blaziken would probably look okay in the Speedo / belt.
Medicham, I'm there.
Isn't... Medicham and Meditite are ascetics. They reject worldly they things.
Oh, no. Hawlucha. Hawlucha needs a Speedo and a belt.
Hawlucha's the true champion.
I wonder how they're going to do Hawlucha in Pokemon Go.
They're not. It's another Kecleon disaster.
Wait, what's the issue? Why can't they just have Hawlucha in Pokemon Go?
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any issue there. The issue would be its signature move.
Neither does Kecleon.
No, the issue with Kecleon is like it would have to copy the type in like the raid. Like, mechanically, it wouldn't work. Mechanically, they would have to make that work. Because Kecleon is normal type, but if he's attacking, like, a Kyurem, then he becomes ice type?
Ice type?
No, I thought Kecleon changed based on what move it was
move
hit
it.
By.
Move it.
It's getting hit by, yes.
It's hit by.
So
yes.
If Kyurem's using ice moves, it would turn ice, which would then have to change its moves. So that's the problem.
All right, I have the final answer about my pants.
Oh, no, its moves would be the same. It's just its type would change.
Yeah, its type would change.
Yeah.
Which is like changing super effective to not super effective.
Yeah.
But it would never get stabbed unless it somehow changes to a normal type. Anyways, I'm putting a bling belt and Speedos on my Sableye. Final answer.
I will give it to you. You got it.
Pokemon of the week, Will.
All right, last week's Pokemon, Super Easy, was based on trading card game cards, only available in Sword and Shield expansion. There were actually two cards, numbers 73 and 74, but in the Japanese sets, it's actually been available in four different sets, technically. Both cards have 70 HP. One has attacks that are Bite and Zap Kick. The other one has Roar and Static Shock, and it is a herding dog in the Galar region. As it runs, it generates electricity from the base of its tail. There you go. Greg, because Steve's completely confused right now.
It's
Pikachu!
It's the better Pikachu. It's Yamper.
It is Yamper. Yamper
is... Correct.
Everyone should shiny hunt with a Yamper in their party.
Why? So I can get my ball back?
Yeah. Got ball fetch.
Nah. Yeah, it's got that ball fetch.
Yes. And you know, they held off on printing any Pikachu cards in the TCG until Sword and Shield.
Until Direwolf Digital.
Did you know that his name may be a combination of Yap, Ampere, and Scamper.
Oh, I like that. I did not know that.
I like that its hidden ability is Rattled. It's very thematic.
What does Rattled do?
Rattled is like it alerts you if there's a super effective move, right?
No, that's Anticipation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When a Pokemon with the ability hits a Bug, Dark, Ghost type, speed will be increased by one stage. If the Pokemon with this ability is hit by a Bug, Ghost, Dark multi-move, each will activate the ability. And then Generation 8, it is now activated by Intimidate. I actually didn't know that. What?
Yeah.
What knows Rattled?
A lot of people.
Obviously Meowth. Yamper.
Dunsparce.
Oh, actually, I was like, none of these Pokemon matter. Like Alolan Persian knows Rattled, but you would never run it because... Alolan Persian is already so fast. Pseudo-Woodo, I guess? But Pseudo-Woodo has really bad stats. What does Clamperl know Rattled?
It's its hidden ability.
Yeah,
Because it gets scared and hides in its shell and speeds up.
Yeah, I guess.
Shiny? Does Yamper even
it's
have
bad.
A shiny?
It's really bad.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Yamper.
What colors
shiny.
Is it?
It's like, it's instead like, of like being yellow, it's like yellow-pink.
Yeah, it's like... It's just like a little bit lighter. It's hard to see.
Yeah, because he's like tan.
Yeah.
But his like shiny is like beige-ish. It's like really hard to tell.
And no shuffle icon, unfortunately.
No shuffle icon.
Yet.
25th anniversary coming, though.
Yet, exactly. I'm very excited for this. All right. This week's Pokemon, it's going to be a wild ride. Here we go. In some ways, it is amazing to scroll through the Pokedex and see how many Pokemon I have already covered as Pokemon of the Week. In other ways, it is quite distressing, as they aren't churning out new Pokemon in as much quantity as they used to. I am feeling either get good scrubs or quit now frauds. Sometimes I like to pick a Pokemon with either unique or very limited typing. Did you know that Ice type has the fewest number of Pokemon available? I've pretty much run out of Ice types, though. This week, I'll do something more common, but not as common as, say, Water types. The main thing that caught my eye about this week's Pokemon wasn't that it can evolve into two Pokemon simultaneously, and it may be the only Pokemon that can do this, but that its main evolution, the one it always evolves into, has opposite typing from it. I don't mean opposites like ice and fire, but more opposites like this week's Pokemon has stab for moves that would not hit its evolution at all. We have another unique fact that both Pokemon this week's evolves into do not inherit either of its possible abilities. I guess, in the end, it's not slacking.
Clamperl.
There you go. Yeah. Yes, Clamperl. Exactly.
Because Huntail and Brawfish don't get rattled.
Gorbis don't have fish. What is it? Shudder? Not shudder.
Rattled. All right. Well, that's our episode.
I have a news update for everybody before you do the closing.
Oh, okay.
I have watched the My Neighbor Totoro DVD. That movie is not good.
Lies.
And I'm sending it back to Netflix. After a decade, it's going back to Netflix.
And then are you canceling your DVD? What's next in your DVD queue?
I think I have some episodes of Doctor Who.
Ooh.
You need.
And I'm talking like the old Doctor Who, not the 2000s Doctor Who.
I think the problem with Totoro is people hype it up and then you watch it and you're like, wow, nothing happens.
Exactly.
And then they're that's a slice of life. Look, I've seen slice of life.
And they may have killed a little girl in it. You don't know.
True.
Slice of life.
The ending is lovingly ambiguous.
Yes.
I started rewatching Death Note.
Oh, so good. That is a good anime.
Yeah. Anyways.
Did you ever finish Brotherhood?
Yeah, I've watched Brotherhood all the way. Okay, this is me and anime. Like, it took her like 3 years to convince me to watch Full Metal. Because I was like, ugh, the only anime in my life is Digimon. And I watched Full Metal, and I was like, okay, this is good. I watched it all the way through. And then I was like, this ending to Full Metal is going to be so bad, and I'm going to waste how many episodes of that? And I'm going to hate it. And it had one of the best endings in any TV show I've ever seen. And then she was like, you need to watch Death Note now. And I was like, nah. And I watched Death Note and it was also good. Not as good as Full Metal. But now she's like, you should watch My Hero. And I was like, is it better?
My Hero, heck yeah.
Is it
My
better
Hero makes me cry.
Than Full Metal? She's like, it's different. I was like, why would I watch something?
It certainly is different. So My Hero is more modern. Is the deal.
And it has an
obviously
ended.
Full Metal Alchemist is a 15-year-old intellectual property. But yeah, My Hero is
My Hero not. Hasn't ended, so you're not going to get an ending yet.
Okay, so I will not watch it. I need an ending.
What?
You watch it as it comes out?
Because I have to watch. Okay, so this is the other thing is I have to watch it in English, and before anyone says, well, the Japanese voices are better, I don't care. But whose Japanese or English voice is better? I'm not judging anyone on performance here.
I will say the My Hero dub is good. I am watching those.
I have to read like 18 hours a day Twitch chat, and that's a lot of garbage I gotta read. So when I'm done reading Twitch chat, I do not want to sit on my couch and put my feet up and have a cat in my lap and do more reading. I'm brain dead at that point, and I just want to watch. I want to consume. I don't want to read. I just want to veg out in the very few moments I have in life to watch TV.
All right. Well, then I guess you need to watch Attack on Titan. Is that over? Or do we still have one more season?
I think there's one more season. Look, I only made it through season one, and I couldn't do season two, and I've not kept up.
Oh, it gets so much better.
One that I think I'm going to wait until it's done and then just binge it.
I need stuff to be done. But why would I watch new when I could just rewatch Full Metal?
Because it's new.
I don't know.
Other Full Metal. True.
I'm not watching the other Full Metal. I looked at the ending and I was like, that ending is bad.
I'm like already kind of mad that Drew convinced me to watch the newest Naruto knockoff.
No.
And I'm still deciding if this anime is worth it.
Hard pass. All right, close out the program.
Okay. Boruto is Naruto's son. Okay, we will be back.
What?
We will be back next week. Still putting out 3 YouTube videos a week, youtube.com/PKMNcast. I am doing short, helpful hint tutorial things on TikTok now. TikTok is also PKMNcast. Instagram, PKMNcast. You think after 10 years of this, I would know how to say that. Twitter, the same. Subreddit is r/supereffective. And the subreddit's been pretty active. So thank you guys who are on the subreddit. Feel free to join. I think that's everything. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the reviews. I think we'll plan, I don't know, when's Christmas? Friday? We should be fine.
It is.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, we'll be fine. So we'll be back next week. Have a good community day weekend coming up. And wear a mask. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super done with MasterChef Australia. They only had 7 seasons in. I'm finally free. Free, people.
This podcast is supported by our Patreon supporters, people that give us money. Our producers of the show are Kevin, Casey, Patrick, Jetsy, Matthew, Kay, Catherine, Steph, Brian, and Courtney. And our executive producers are Spencer and Anthony. Thank you, everyone who listens to the podcast, and thank you, everyone who takes the extra mile to support us over on Patreon. We did, as of this month, update our Patreon address, so it is now patreon.com/PKMNCAST. Same as the Twitter, the Twitch, the YouTube, the Instagram, everything is all universal now. It is the same. So if you're listening to an older episode where we say that, it's wrong now. And of course, the ISC.cash up and working, redirecting to that new domain. Thank you again. If you want to support the show, you can head over to ise.cash or patreon.com/PKMNCAST, PKMNcast. And I appreciate you guys listening, appreciate the support, and we will see you next week.